All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning, the shiurim this month, are dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in commemoration of the artites of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok, Leib, and Aaron Cohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas, Henoch Ephraim. Today's daf is Kuf. We are picking up on the two dots on Kuf, just to finish off the previous Mishnah, 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Thank you to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. And Abosa, with that, let's begin. Chal Yom Kippurim Lios B'Shabbos. Remember again, so the Mishnah quoted the interesting case that if Yom Kippur ultimately falls out, this is actually a case, is Chal Lios B'Erev Shabbos. That's actually what we're referring to over here. If Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, Talocha was the Seir of Yom Kippur was consumed that evening, Shabbos evening. Now, again, Rashi points out over here in the Mishnah that the Seir that is being referred to is not the Seir that we classically think about for Yom Kippur, which is the two Seirim, the one LaHashem and the one LaAzazel, but rather the Seir being referenced in the Mishnah over here is the Seir of the Musaf offering, which ultimately, again, was consumed. So the Mishnah pointed out over here, Habavlim Ochlin Oso Kishu Chaim Ipnesha Daitan Yofa. So ultimately, again, the Bavlim, the Babylonians, would eat the meat raw, Ipnesha Daitan Yofa. So again, we'll discuss exactly what that means. It says the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say it's just an interesting conversation over here. So Rabbi Barbachana said the name Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Bavlim Haim. Ultimately, again, the Babylonians being referenced here are not actually Babylonians. Ella Alexandrian, but they were Jews from Alexandria, from Egypt. They will say, of course, that the people we're referencing over here are Kohanim, because it's Kohanim who are consuming this particular Seir. So even though we identify them as Babylonians, in fact, they're not Babylonians, rather they are Alexandrian. So why do we call them Babylonians? Umitoch shesonim esabavlim. But because the rabbis hated the Babylonians, Korin Osan Ashem Bavlim. Anyone who they did not like, they called a Babylonian. So we'll say, so this by the way, this could come in handy, right? You can feel free to use this. If there's someone you dislike, you can just call them Babylonian. They won't even realize that you're stalking them. So again, so we'll see why the rabbis did not like the Babylonians in just a moment. So Tanya Amihachi, the Brisa supports this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Labavliim Haim, Ella Alexandrium. In fact, these Kohanim who would eat the raw meat, in fact, again, were not called, they weren't really Babylonians, rather they were Alexandrians. Umitok Shasonan es Bavliim, Korin Osal Shem Bavliim. And the fact that the rabbis did not like the Babylonians, but they used to call these people Babylonians. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, this is actually very beautiful. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanuach daitcha shenachda daiti. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to Rabbi Rechana, Rabbi Yochanan, thank you so much, right? Shkoyach to you, because you've put my mind at ease. How have you put my mind at ease? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Mishpachas Rabbi Yehuda mi Bavel haisa, lefichach samach b'divrei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda's family was from Bavel. So because ultimately, again, the Gemara interpreted that the Bavliim were not actually the Bavliim, that rather the Bavliim were the Alexandrian. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda was very happy that, again, it wasn't actually Bavliim who were behaving in this strange fashion, but rather it was the Alexandrian Jews. So we'll say, what's the nature of this animosity? Again, in general, we'll say, you know, we try, again, not to hate anyone. Certainly not allowed to hate. Altisna sachicha b'vavachi, not allowed to hate another Jew. So what's the pshat, ultimately, again, with this animosity towards the Babylonians? If you take a look at the top Tosas on Kuf Amud Aleph, Tosas writes, Shesonim es ha-Bavliim, ki da'ashkechan ha-parakam diyuma, da'amar, amar le'r b'shimim ben lakish, le'r b'lazar, elokad yisrael sanin alochu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Elazar, the God of Israel hates you. He was talking to the Babylonian Jewry. Why? Lefi shalo alu bimei Ezra. We'll say, this is actually amazing. The animosity towards the Babylonian Jews came from the fact that, remember, we've seen this before, a fraction of them came back with Ezra. Only a few thousand Jews actually came back with Ezra. The overwhelming majority of Babylonian Jewry decided to stay put in Babel, even once they had the opportunity to be Ola li Eretz Yisrael. Umash maskirin osam lignai al sheokhanas hasirim chayim, af agav de mitzaka abdi, shevol li denos, lefi sher gilu atzman kimokein, lochlam chayim, af bechol asharan de mechse kirav anusa. So as I said, Tosas brings down 2 points here. So first of all, the generally disparaging viewpoint of Babylonian Jewry came from the fact that a fraction, not even a fraction, a minute fraction, went back to Eretz Yisrael, ultimately again when given the opportunity to do so. So we'll say, you know, calm down there. It's not us. Let's take it easy, right? Right. But the idea ultimately is that you see this incredible, incredible rabbinic displeasure with the Jews of Belva being granted the opportunity. And apparently, Dr. Elman is booking us all tickets today. Right, Baruch Hashem. So you got to put your money where your mouth is. That's it. So ultimately, you see this incredible displeasure with Babylonian Jewry because they did not go back. Now, both say, now, obviously, what does this have to do with consuming this seir raw? So we'll say, see, there's two different things happening over here. We're voicing a displeasure towards the Babylonians because ultimately, again, there's a general displeasure with the Babylonians. They had the opportunity to be oletari, so they didn't go. What's wrong with eating the meat raw? See, the meat raw, we'll say, was mechse kiravanusa. In general, again, it doesn't look nice to eat things raw because it looks gluttonous. I don't know if it's the right word. Ravanusa means... Ravenous, right? Like that you can't wait. You can't wait for the food ultimately to be done. So there's two different things. So that meat of eating the food raw, even though again, they were doing something good, they were partaking of the seer, the act of eating things raw, which apparently this group of Jews did in all times. Now, Tosafot points out something very interesting over here. The Mishnah talks about the idea that the Babylonians did this, the Bavlim or the Alexandrian, did this when Erev Yom Kippur fell out on Erev Shabbos. But apparently, they used to do this all years. In other words, they would always eat this seir raw in order that in a situation where it fell out on Erev Shabbos, they would eat it raw as well. So this meat of eating the meat raw, which is interesting, which is, again, maybe, from a Hashkafic perspective, eating your meat too rare, I guess, is mechse kira avanusa. You know, it looks a bit ravenous. Let it cook a little bit more. So there's two different things. So there's disparaging of the Babylonian Jews because they were not all the Teretz Yisrael, and there's this notion of eating foods raw that has this almost ravenous or gluttonous type of image that it projects. Okay, good. Mishnah Bosai, beautiful Mishnah out of us. Sidras Alechem B'Shabbos. So now we're going to get into some very interesting halachas. If you go ahead and you deviate from the normal order of things by the lechem upon him. So sidur es halechem b'Shabbos v'sabazichin la'achar Shabbos. So I will say if you arrange the lechem on Shabbos. Remember, let's talk about the norm. What's the norm? You put the new lechem. You bake the lechem when? Well, let's go through this. When do you bake lechem? Erev Shabbos, right? The baking of the lechem upon him is not docha Shabbos. So you bake the lechem upon him on Erev Shabbos, but you do not arrange it on the shulchan until when? Until Shabbos. Take off the old loaves, put on the new loaves. When you put on the new loaves, lechem upon him, what else do you put on the shulchan? The bazichin, the two spoons of frankincense. When do you leave everything on the shulchan until? The following Shabbos. Following Shabbos is when you take off the loaves, give it to the kohanim to eat. The spoons of frankincense are burnt on the mizbeach. That is a normal, functional situation. Now the Mishnah deals with a different situation. Sidra es alechem b'Shabbos, ve'es abazichin la'achar Shabbos. If you place the bread on the shulchan on Shabbos, so fine over there, but the bazichin, you put the spoons of frankincense on there after Shabbos. And then what happens? So Matzah Shabbos, ve'ekdra es abazichin b'Shabbos. Now we'll say, now what happens? And you end up going ahead and burning the spoons of frankincense on Shabbos. What's the halacha? Puzzle. Ultimately, again, everything is pasul, as we're going to see. Why? Because the bazich and the frankincense was not on the shulchan long enough. Look at Rashi just a moment. Pasul, the mechusar zmanhu. Ultimately, again, the frankincense, we'll say, is what's called mechusar zman. It's lacking requisite time. Shalohaya ala shulchan ala shisha yamin. Vahak, because it was only on the shulchan, ultimately, again, for 6 days. Remember, it was put on there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 full days, and on Shabbos, it's burnt. So ultimately, again, it's mechusar zman. It doesn't have enough time. Everything is supposed to be on the shulchan, really for a minimum of 8 days, as we're going to see. So therefore, again, everything is possible. Now remember, the bazichin to a certain degree, and Rashi points this out, are the matir for the lechem. So the burning of the bazichin is what allows consumption for the lechem. Therefore, if the frankincense is not good, therefore what? Therefore, ultimately, again, the lechem becomes pasul as well. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah goes on pasul. We'll say, now here's what's interesting. Now, once everything becomes pasul, therefore what? Therefore, in chayav alem mishum pigol nosar vitame. Therefore, I'll say, alocha lemaisa, the bread will not be subject to the laws of pigol, nosar, and tame. Why not, Rabbi say? You could only become subject to pigol, nosar, and tame when? If you had a shasa kosher. It's only if an item was fit for consumption that it could become pigol, nosar, or tame. If it was never fit, then ultimately, again, it cannot become pigol, nosar. So we'll say, we already knew that from our zvachim days. Sidra es alechem, ves habazichim on Shabbos. We'll say, case number two. I put the lechem and the bazichim on Shabbos. So far, everything is good. Everything is being placed on at the right time. Veikter es habazichim la'achar Shabbos. And I'll say, what happens? I end up offering up the bazichin too early. So I put the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan, and then the next day, Sunday, I end up offering up the bazichin on the shulchan. Well, excuse me, on the mizbeach. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Psula. So once again, everything is possible. We'll say again, remember, in order for the lechem to be fit for consumption, the lechem has to be on the shulchan for the requisite amount of time. The bazichin has to be on the shulchan for the requisite amount of time. The bazichin has to be offered up on the mizbeach at the right time. Change any of those factors, and the lechem is possible. Vein, and therefore again, I will say, if it's pasul, vein chayav alam mishum pigol nosar v'tamei. And I will say again, remember, once the lechem becomes pasul, I'm no longer obligated, or there's no longer any kind of liability for nosar pigol and tamei. Because again, I will say, remember again, nosar pigol and tamei only kick in when, if the carbon was fit for consumption. Good. Sidra salechem besa vazichan la'achar Shabbos. I will say, watch this case. What happens if halacha lemaisa? I went ahead, and this is actually an interesting case. I got delayed, and I don't put the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan until after Shabbos, until Sunday, right? Sunday. I will say after Shabbos can be Matzah Shabbos, after Shabbos can be Sunday morning. It doesn't really matter. The point is, it's the day after Shabbos, so I forgot or whatever the metzias is. I put the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan on Sunday. What's the halacha? So the hikter is a bazichin b'Shabbos. And I will say, I offer up the bazichin on Shabbos. So once again, psula. Once again, I will say again, it's possible because I don't have the requisite time. So kisa yasa. So we'll say, in a case like this, where let's say I put the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan, not on Shabbos, but after Shabbos, what do I do? There is a way to remedy this, Rabbi. So how do you remedy it? Kisa yasa, yanichena l'Shabbos haba. Rabbi said, it's a very simple remedy. What do you do? Leave it on the shulchan for one additional Shabbos. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Yanichen l'Shabbos haba, Rashi says, the yamod shivu'ayim ala shulchan. Just let the lechem sit on the table for 2 weeks. Kevin de lo nistar b'Shabbos, ein shulchan mekacho ad Shabbos haba, hilchach lo mifsa belina l'matzei Shabbos. It was a very important halacha. The halacha is that it is only when you place the lechem on the shulchan on Shabbos that the shulchan is mekadesh the lechem. Which means that if you place the lechem on the shulchan on Sunday, the lechem has not been mekudash, it has not been sanctified. So now, there's a very easy way to remedy. You could fix this. How do you fix it? I put it on Sunday. What do? Leave it on until Shabbos. When next Shabbos comes, I'll say, what happens? What happens? Now, the lechem is kadosh. Once the lechem is kadosh, the clock starts. Once the clock starts, then what? Leave it. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Now it gets its full 8 days on the Shulchan. Take it off the following Shabbos. Burn the Bazichin on that following Shabbos and Shalom al Yisrael. So we'll say, this is a very unique halacha by Lechem. Remember again, once the clock starts, the Lechem does become pasul with Lina. But the clock only starts when the lechem is placed on the shulchan on Shabbos. If the lechem is placed on the shulchan any other day, the clock doesn't start until the following Shabbos. So therefore, again, I will say, in a situation where you miss Shabbos and you end up placing the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan on Sunday, or you can fill in the blank, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the amazing part is you could fix this. You could fix this situation. How do you fix this situation? Again, halach lemaisa, just let the clock run starting from the following Shabbos until the Shabbos after that. So it turns out, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, you could end up having the lechem on the shulchan, I'll say, for how long? For 2 weeks. Now, the only thing that I will say that the only negative part of this is that, remember, the Kohanic group going off shift on Shabbos number one is not going to get lechem that Shabbos. So that, because remember, there's nothing coming off the table that Shabbos. So that's the only thing. But okay. But at least the good news is you have the ability to go ahead and what? You have the ability to go ahead and halacha lemaisa remedy these loaves.
Rabbi,
yes.
Is this how the Jews created penicillin?
By letting it sit. Now remember again, this obviously works in concert with the knowledge that what? So first of all, Akiva Noach's point, and because you live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to assume you don't know the no question rule, right? But again, but this is a very important point. I will say, so obviously, what does this show you? What this shows you is that it must have been that the miracle of the Shulchan worked even when the Shulchan was not Mekadesh the Lechem. Right? So that's the amazing part over here. Is Akiva Noach is saying good. Right? So which is, what I would say, amazing. See, even though, again, in this case, where I'm putting the Lechem on the Shulchan on Sunday, so really, the Shulchan is not Mekadesh the Lechem as a cliche race until when? Until Shabbos. But yet, amazingly enough, it's clear that the loaves stay fresh, because in the Chinami, if they were going to go moldy, then this whole Eitzah doesn't even make sense. So I will say, so that's amazing. So we always thought the ability of the Shulchan to maintain the freshness of the loaves, that miracle was rooted in the Shulchan's identity as a klisharis. You see over here that it keeps the loaves fresh, even when it's not a klisharis. Excellent. Excellent. Right, so the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, "Kesi Yani." So Mishnah says, "Kesi Nechel Shabbos Haba Shafilu." So the Mishnah ends off by saying, "Shafilu hi ala Shulchan Yomim Rabim Ein Bekach Klum." So we'll say this is actually quite fascinating, because what it comes down to over here is even the Mishnah says, even if the lechem is on the Shulchan for many days, Ein Bekach Klum. Ultimately, again, it makes no difference. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Yani chena al Shabbos haba, v'yamot shvu ayim al haShulchan, d'cheiben d'lo nistra b'Shabbos in Shulchan mekadsho al haShabbos. We'll say, remember again, the Shulchan only acts as a kli sharis, v'mekadesh the lechem, when the loaves are on there on a Shabbos. Hilchach lo mifso b'lina l'matzei Shabbos. Therefore, again, we'll say, ultimately, the loaves do not become mifso b'lina. The Shita Mekubetzes changes this. Ad lematzei Shabbos sheni. See, Rabbi say, remember again, let's be clear. You cannot leave lechem aponim loaves on the shulchan indefinitely. At some point in time, they do become pasabalina. But Rabbi say, when do they become pasabalina? Only when? Only on the second matzei Shabbos. In other words, once the loaves are there on a Shabbos, so the shulchan acts as a kli sharis, is mekadesh the loaves that Shabbos. The loaves can remain on the shulchan until the following Shabbos, but you must take them off the shulchan when Rabbi was saying, by the second Matzei Shabbos. If you don't take them up by the second Matzei Shabbos, then enachinami, they become possibly no. So we'll say, let's go back to the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. I was supposed to listen to this, so we're gonna go on a little bit of a tangent over here, which actually is a wonderful tangent. We'll loop it back to the Mishnah shortly. Amar Tanan Hasam. I'm supposed to say, this is the Gemara Meseches Yuma. Amar Lahem Hamamuna. Su'uru'im Egein Zman Shechit. So we'll say, remember again, this is talking about Halacha L'maisa in order to shecht the Karban Tamid. So every single morning, before they shechted the Karban Tamid, there was a guy who was in charge to make sure that dawn had arrived. So Amar Lahem Hamamuna. So ultimately, the person in charge, we'll discuss who he is in just a moment, person in charge of the Karban Tamid, would say to the Kohanim, "Tzu ru'uim egiyas man hashechita," go and see if ultimately the time for shechting the Tamid has arrived, i.e., if the dawn has dawned. Im egiya, ultimately, again, if the dawn had arrived, haroa omer, the person who saw this would say, barakai. So we'll say barakai means it has dawned, right? It has become light. Matisya ben Shmuel omer, we'll say Matisya ben Shmuel said, so we'll say, who is Matisya ben Shmuel? Rashi says, he was Hayat Mamuna Akach. Matisya ben Shmuel literally was the one who was in charge, ultimately, again, of the Kohanim for the Karban Tamid, and of this whole process of declaring the dawn. Rashi says, Shay Mamuna ala Payasos, Vahaya Payasos Shemefaisin Kishir Hayom. He was actually in charge of the Kohanic lotteries, which decided which coin was going to do which avoda. So Matisya ben Shmuel says, Matisya ben Shmuel says, by the way, this happened a little bit differently. What they would do is they would send one of the Kohanim up to the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would ask him questions. They would ask him, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad SheBeChevron. They would ask him, has the dawn, has the horizon become light all the way from Yerushalayim until Chevron? V'hu Omer Hein. And he would say yes. So it's just a difference over here of opinions, exactly how this dawn process worked. Was it one guy going up to the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash, calling out Barakai, it's become dawn? Or was it that he went up and they asked him a series of questions? Is the dawn, has the dawn dawned from here to Hebron? Either way, and he would say yes. Why did they need this entire process? I'll tell you why. Shepam achas ala ma'or halavana v'dimu sheher mizrach. Because it was one time they made a mistake. One time they saw light on the horizon, but the mistake they made was what? The mistake was it wasn't sunlight. What was it? It was moonlight. So we'll say they thought the day had arrived. V'dimu sheher p'nei mizrach shachtu es atamid. So we'll say what did they do? Because they thought that the day had arrived, they shechted the carbon tamid. Vot si'u lebeis ha'sreifa. And it will say, they shechted the carbon tamid, and then they realized that's what? It still was nighttime. So we'll say, so they illegally shechted the tamid. So what did they have to do? They had to take the carcass of the animal and essentially discard it. So in order to go ahead, I will say, and avoid that type of situation of erroneously shechting the carbon tamid at nightfall, they had this more thorough process. Sending the guy up to the rooftop, Barakai, is the dawn dawned from here until Hebron, in order to avoid this erroneous situation. So let's say, now the Mishnah says another detail over here. V'oridu kohen going gadol lebeis hatvila. And ultimately, again, I will say, after this, they would go ahead and take the kohen gadol to do, so we'll say, once the dawn had arrived, this is by Yom Kippur, once the dawn had arrived, they took the kohen gadol to do his first tevila of the day. Zach klahev mikdash. We'll say this is the general rule in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol ha-mesich es raglov ton tevila. This is actually quite amazing. So kol ha-mesich es raglov means if you would defecate, if a kohen would defecate, he would have to go to the mikvah. V'chol ha-matil mayim, but if you would urinate, ton kiddush edayim v'raglayim. He wouldn't have to go to the mikvah, but he would require a sanctification of his hands and his feet. Tani avud Rabbi Avin. Lo zu bilvan. So Rabbi Avin Barava said, not only this, ela afilu ola sa'of shenimna kabalayim. I'm both saying, now this is a very interesting halacha. If they erroneously offered up the ola sa'of at night, they did malika at night, umincha shenikmet sabalayla, or for that matter, I both say, if the mincha, if they did kmitza at night, what's the halacha? Teitzi lebeis hasreifa. Ultimately, again, you have to burn such a carbon. Why, Rabbi Osai? Why? Because halach lamaisa, you're not allowed to do these karbanos at night. It's illegal. It's illegal. Therefore, you go ahead and you'd have to burn it. So bishlama ola sa'of mishum dola efshar lahadura. So I understand, Rabbi Osai, why ola sa'of? If I accidentally did the malika at night, that I have to burn the rest of the carbon. Why, Rabbi Osai? Why? Because you can't exactly put that back together. Right? So again, once I did Malika, it's done. And therefore I have to burn the carcass of the bird. However, Elamincha, Efshar de Mahadir Kometz Ledukte, the Kometz Biyama. We'll say, by Mincha, I do have a way of remedying this. So we'll say, what happened? I did the Kemitza at night. It turns out I thought it was day, it's really night. So we'll say, there's an easy remedy for that. What's the easy remedy for that? Just put it back. Just put it back at the kamitza into the rest of the mixture. Why do I have to burn everything? To which the Gemara says, "Hu tani la, v'hu amar la, klisharis mekanshin shalo bizmanon." We'll say, what do you see from here? That a klisharis has the ability to mekadish the komets even when it's not the right time. So therefore, we'll say, when I did the illegal kamitza and I placed the komets in the klisharis, even though it was at night, that klisharis was mekadish the komets. And therefore, again, when it turns out that it's nighttime and actually daytime, I have no remedy to put the comets back because the klisharis is mekadesh the comets. Because I can't put the comets back, then what? Then what? I just have to burn the mincha in its entirety in the Beis HaSreifa and bring another mincha by day. So it says the Gemara Meisvei. I'm going to raise a kash on this. Kalakari bayom kadosh bayom. But say anything that is offered by day, the klisharis is mekadesh it by day. Look at Rashi for just a moment. But say it's the last two narrow lines in Rashi. Kala kadosh bayom can go in stam karbanos. So we'll say stam karbanos which are offered up by day. Kadosh bayom sheim nasno beklisharis bayom klisharis mekadesh. So we'll say, so the Mishnah Gemara seems to say as follows. Kala kari bayom, any carbon that is offered up by day, ultimately again is what? Kadosh bayom. The klisharis sanctifies it by day. Balayla, Kadosh Balayla, any carbon that is offered up at night. So the Kli Sharis is Mekadosh at night. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, any carbon that is offered up both by night and by day. Kadosh Bayom Ubalayla. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. The Kli Sharis has the ability to sanctify both by day and by night. Kala Kadosh, Kala Kariv Bayom, Kadosh Bayom, Bayom in Balayla. Now, what do you see from here? It sounds like Kriyat Shema Rabbah say that Allah Almighty, if you have a carbon that is only offered up by day, when is the Kli Sharis Mekadesh it? When? Only by day, not at night. If that's the case, Rabbah say, then what? Let's go back to the Mincha case. What did we say? If you accidentally did Kamitza at night because you thought it was daytime, you took the Kamitza, you put it in the Kli Sharis, what did the Gemara say before? What do we do with that Mincha? We have to burn it. Why? Because it was illegally consecrated. But what do we just say over here? Sounds like over here that any carbon that is only offered by day, the Kli Sharis only consecrates it by day. If that's the case, that if I accidentally did Kamitza on a Mincha by night, and it's only supposed to be offered up by day, then what? Then the Kli Sharis really wasn't Mekadesh it, and should be able to put the Kamitza back and Shalom Aisa and offer it again up by day. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Eino Kadosh Le Kariv, Aval Kadosh, Kadosh Le Pasel. You're right, Rabbi Sai. The idea over here is when you illegally do kamitza, when you do illegal kamitza at night, and you put that kamitza in the Kli Sharis, so the Kli Sharis, Rabbi Sai, is not mekadeshit to be offered, but it is mekadeshit to become pasul. In other words, Rabbi Sai, that how we've seen this distinction before, that sometimes sacrificial items can be endowed with sanctity enough to render them unfit, enough to render them pasul, but not enough to offer them up as a carbon. So when you place that kamitza in the Kli Sharis at night, so we'll say it can't go ahead and offer up that kamitza, but it absolutely can become invalidated as an invalid sacrificial item. So the Gemara says, most of Rabbi Zera, so we'll say Rabbi Zera is the kasha. What's the kasha? Sidras halechem ve'sabazichin achar hashab. So we'll say, watch this. Mishnah's case. I went ahead and I put the lechem and the bazichin on the shulchan when? On Matzei Shabbos. On Matzei Shabbos. Victor is habazichin b'Shabbos, and I go ahead and I offer up the bazichin the following Shabbos, psula. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the lechem is pasul. Why? Why? Because the bazichin were offered up mechusar zman without enough time. Keitzad yaseh, what should you do in order to make this lechem good? Yanichena l'Shabbos habo. Both say, what do you have to do? You really should let the lechem sit until when? The lechem and the bazichin, both say, sit when? Until the following Shabbos. So in essence, the lechem and the bazichin will be on the shulchan for 2 weeks. Shafidu hi on the shulchan yomim rabim ein bekach klum. Because even if the lechem and the bazichin sit on the shulchan for a long time, Rabbi say, now remember, long time, Rabbi say, does not mean indefinitely. Remember again, there is a window. How long could it sit on the shulchan until? How long could it sit until? Until ultimately 2 weeks. Until again, the second Shabbos. So says the Gemara, "V'yisagdaitcha kli sharis mekachin shelo bismanon." So if you older say that what that a kli sharis has the ability to sanctify something, even though not to offer it, but ultimately for it to become pasul, then what likdosh v'lifsol? Ultimately, I'm going to say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Likdosh, second wide line in Rashi. Second one, likdosh me'echad b'Shabbos v'chimati idach techad Shabbos li'pasabalin alamatzei Shabbos. So also, listen to this. You just said before that what? Let's now both say what we're doing is we're bringing a number of different sacrificial worlds together. What did you just say beforehand? Beforehand, we just said that halacha l'maisa, if you take the kamitza of the mincha, ultimately when at night, and you place it in the kli sharis. So both say, what's the status of that mincha? What's the status of the mincha? Right? It's pasul, right? In other words, that ultimately, again, it cannot be offered up. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, you took it at night, but the placement in the Kli Sharis is enough to go ahead and make it pasul that it has to be burned. It has to be... And I will say, now, if that's the case, then why don't I bring that same logic over here to the Shulchan? If you want to tell me that a Kli Sharis ultimately is Mekadesh, when Rabbi say, even Shalom Bismanon, then Likdosh V'Lifsol, then ultimately again, then really even the Lechem and the Bazichin on the Shulchan should become Kadosh Shalom Bismanon, should be Pasul Belina after the first Matzei Shabbos and should have to be burned. Amar Rabba says, Mande Kamosiv, Shapir Kamosiv, Avud Rabbi Abin, Nami Masnisa, Ka'amar, Kasavar, Laila, Ein Mechusar Zman. Hayamim mechusarin zman. Rabbi said, listen to this. See, he says, Rabbi said, there's a difference between putting something in the kli sharis at night, when it really should be offered up by day, versus something that is mechusar yamim. Look at this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, about yamim mechusar zman, yamim havi mechusar zman hilchach, lechem hanistar be'echad b'shabbis, lo mekandesh le'i le'efsulei, Da'akati yom kama yomim ad yesh ad zvonobos. Listen to this distinction. When you go ahead and you take a karma mincha, and you take a kamisa, and you put it in the klisharis at night, so I will say, what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is nighttime, right? But I will say, if you think about it again, that is a generally relatively small problem. In other words, just a couple of hours, and the mincha is the proper time. Therefore, I will say, when you go ahead and you take something that is mechusar zman, it should have been put in by day, but you put it by night. Okay, so sacrificially it's compromised. You can't offer it, but what? It is definitely endowed with sacrificial sanctity to the point that now it becomes invalid for further use. I will say, that's different than when you place the lechem on the shulchan on a Sunday. So I will say, when you put lechem on the shulchan on a Sunday, I will say, you're not even in the ballpark. Why not even in the ballpark? Because remember again, when does that lechem become chadosh? When? Only the following Shabbos. So I'll say, you can't even call that mechusar zman. So when you go ahead and you place a mincha in a kli sharis, you take a kamitz illegally at night because you thought it was day. You put in this, okay, so we'll say, so you're a couple of hours off. If you're a couple of hours off, it works to a degree. It works to make it possible and endows it with sanctity to the point that now it has to be burned. It can no longer be used anymore. But what? But Allah Chalamaisa, again, you're in the ballpark. You place lechem on the shulchan on a Sunday. On a Sunday. It was that you're not even in the ballpark. Therefore what? The shulchan is not mekadesh the lechem until when? Until the next Shabbos. So we'll say, this one I want to point out is a fascinating here. Laila in mechusar zman, hayomim mechusarin zman. Laila is not considered mechusar zman, I will say. You're in the ballpark. Therefore, when you place that kamitza into the klisharis, it becomes kodesh. Not to be offered up, but to become pasul. But ultimately, yamim, when you're missing days, ultimately, again, it's not called mechusar zman. Therefore, the lechem does not become kodesh until the following Shabbos. So I will say, I just want to point out, this is a fascinating piece of sacrificial. I don't want to use our trivia, because trivia sounds like something trivial. What's a better word? Factoid. Right? Sacrificial factoid. Good. But we'll say this, like, if you're ever, like, is you ever looking to just start up some conversation, have you ever seen a situation where something could be placed, could be sitting in a klisharis for days, and still not be kodesh? And you'll say, funny you should ask, right? Yes, it applies to lechem haponim placed on the shulchan on a Sunday. We'll say, this happens to be a dramatic piece of information. Because we'll say, in general, again, something is placed in a klisharis, it becomes instantaneously kodesh. There seems to be one exception to this, we'll say, which is lechem haponim. That is a Kiva Nach mentioned before. Again, you place this on the shulchan on a Sunday, it's in a klisharis. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll say, it's not kodesh. When does it become kodesh? Ultimately, again, on Shabbos. So we'll say, it's a dramatic halacha. Sof, Omid Bezer, we'll say, sof. Kimate lele debeshimshi likdash v'lifsal. But I don't understand. Still, at the end of the day, it says, Yimar, fine. So I understand. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's not kodesh. The lechem is not kodesh on the shulchan. But it comes, b'nash mashas, right? Or comes the evening, ultimately, again, of the first Shabbos. It should become kodesh. Look at Rashi, Tap Rashi, Kuf Amud Beis, Kimati Leila Debeshim, Shishol Shabbos Rishona, Likdosh, Da Amrit Leila in Mechusar Zman, Belifso Belal Shishol Shabbos Belina, Shari Omid Sham Shmoni Yom Melev Shabbos. So listen to this. So it says the Gemara, fine, you put the bread there on Sunday, so comes Shabbos night. Once Shabbos comes, the bread is now kodesh. Why doesn't it become Pasul Belina already on the first Shabbos? Amirava, what's the case? V'shakidem v'sile. Rabbi said, this is amazing. So Rabbi said, the case is where you took it off the shulchan on the first Shabbos. Rabbi said, look at Rashi's one. V'shakidem v'silko, kodem bin hashmosho shol Shabbos yishona, v'sida l'machar. So Rabbi adds in, Rabbah adds in an interesting halacha, which is that what you would do is comes the first Friday night, so you take the bread off. You take the bread off before Shabbos morning, and what do? You rearrange it again the next Shabbos morning. In other words, I take it off Friday night and I arrange it again Shabbos morning. I will say that Rav is suggesting this in order to bypass any potential lina situation. This is amazing. So comes along Ravashi. Marzut Ravashi says, no, you don't need to start taking the loaves off, putting them back on, since you put them on shaloki mitzvaso. But say, what does that mean? Since you put them on in a wrongful way, the Gemara says, Naase kimisha sidra hakof. It's like a monkey put it on. The Rebbe said, now what does that mean? It's like a monkey put it on. See, the Rebbe said, placing it on, placing the lechem on the shulchan on a Sunday, Rebbe said, is essentially a halachically irrelevant act. It's an irrelevant act. Because it's a halachically irrelevant act, Rebbe said, therefore, again, something very important. The psul of lina, Rabbi say, only a, what is the psul of lina? What is the psul of lina? You did something sacrificially relevant or sacrificially meaningful. You left it beyond the prescribed time for consumption. That's lina. If something was not yet sacrificially relevant or meaningful, then the psul of lina does not kick in. I will say the same way that a carbon cannot become pigol, nosar, or tame if there was not a permitted window of consumption. Lina, Rabbi Osai, only kicks in when something sacrificially meaningful or relevant has occurred. Placing the loaves on the shulchan on a Sunday, Rabbi Osai, what is the status of that act?
Nothing.
The only time that act retroactively becomes, not even retroactively, the only time that act becomes something meaningful, Rabbi Osai, is when? On Shabbos. So now that I have loaves on the shulchan on Shabbos, oh, now Shabbos triggers the identity of the shulchan as a klisharis. Sanctifies the loaves on that Shabbos, and now on Shabbos number one, the clock starts, and I'm going to say starts until when? Shabbos number two. So I'm going to say, so bottom line, this is how the Rambam paskins. I'm going to say, this is actually very important. If for some reason you delayed putting the loaves on the shulchan until Sunday with the bazichin, so there is a way to save this situation. It just turns out that you end up having the same loaves on the shulchan for close to 2 weeks. So we'll say, so what do you do in such a situation? You put the loaves on the shulchan on Sunday. What do you do? Nothing. Right? What you do is you leave it there. And we'll say just the halachic mechanics of this is you put them on there on Sunday. Essentially from Sunday through Friday, that placement is to a certain degree irrelevant. Irrelevant. Comes Shabbos. Shabbos triggers the identity of the shulchan as a klisharis, sanctifies the loaves. Once you sanctify the loaves on Shabbos number one, the clock starts. What did your boss say? Leave them there until Shabbos number two. Shabbos number two, then you take off those loaves, give them to the shift of Kohanim going out, put the new loaves on, burn the bazichin on the Mizbeach. You've salvaged the loaves. And again, as the Kibbutz Noach mentioned, obviously this solution is a raya to the fact that the miracle of the loaves apparently applied to the loaves even when they were put on in a non-sacrificial manner. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, Shtei Alechem Ne'achalos. So we'll listen to this next case. Shtei Alechem. Re'in ein pachos mishnayim v'lo yosar shlosha. So we're transitioning back from the shtei alechem. What shtei alechem? Shtei alechem are the loaves of shvuas. The loaves of shvuas. So we'll say the shtei alechem were never eaten less than 2 days after being baked. So right, so in other words, you never eat them. They were never eaten less than 2 days. Ne'achalos ein pachos mishnayim below yosar shlosha, and never more than 3 days after they were baked. How so? Ketzad nefos me'erev yamtiv. If they were, remember what I was supposed to say, you don't bake shtei alechem is not docha yamtiv, right? So you don't bake them on yamtiv. So watch this. Ketzad nefos me'erev yamtiv ne'achalos biyamtiv l'shnayim. So we'll say on a regular year shtei alechem was baked when? I will say baked when erev shavuos. So we'll say remember. So therefore again, if on a regular year you bake them on Erev Yom Tov, when do you eat them? On Yom Tov. We'll say, what does that represent? 2 days. Day number one is the day they were baked, and they were consumed on the second day of Yom Tov. Good. So the Gemara says, Chal Yom Tov, Lihios Achar Shabbos. So we'll say, in a case where Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, so when would you bake the loaves, Rabbi Osai? Friday. Therefore, again, you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Nechalos L'shlosha. That's when the shtei lechem will be eaten 3 days after being baked. Lechem aponim, so we'll say lechem aponim,
Nechal in pakos mitisha, below yoser alachalasa. So we'll say lechem upon him is eaten at a minimum of 9 days after the baked. And we'll say when we say 9 days, as we're going to see, that includes what? The day they were baked and the day they were consumed. Suppose I say 9 days is a minimum. Ketzad, ne'afame erev Shabbos, v'ne'achal b'Shabbos l'tisha. So we'll say they were baked on Friday. So you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. That's 9 days. So minimum of 9 days after they were baked. Chal yomtiv lios erev Shabbos. Oh, if yomtiv Rabbosai fell out on a Friday, then what? Remember again, you don't bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos or yomtiv. So when would you bake the lechem upon him? On erev yomtiv, on Thursday. So Rabbosai, the chal la'asara. That's ultimately, again, 10 days. Oh, Yoshne Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. I said, this gets so exciting. So I'll say, so what happens if, let's say, Rosh Hashanah, which remember historically, even in Eretz Yisrael, was 2 days. So let's say Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, Friday, I'll say, remember again, this is before the calendar was set, where these types of situations could happen. So Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday and a Friday. Then what? What are you baking lechem upon him? When? On Wednesday. Oh, nechal achadasar. Ultimately, and Rabbi, then you would be eating lechem upon him 11 days after it was baked. Ve'ino docha lo asa Shabbos v'lo asa yomtiv. Rabbi, neither the shtei lechem nor the lechem upon him is docha Shabbos or yomtiv. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Moshe Mishem Ben Askan, docha asa yomtiv. Ve'ino docha as yom tzom. So I'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, was son of the Skan Kohen Gadol. He said ultimately again, docha as a yomtiv. He said that halacha lemaisa, the baking of the lechem upon him is docha yomtiv, but eino docha as yom tzom, but is not docha yom kippur. Not docha yom kippur. So we'll say some machlokes. So remember, with shtei lechem, everyone agrees that it's not docha Shabbos, not docha yomtiv. Now we have a machlokes ultimately about lechem aponim. Tanakama telling me that lechem aponim is not docha Shabbos baking, not docha Shabbos, not docha yomtiv. Rav Shimon Leal telling me that it is docha yomtiv. It's just not docha yom kippur. Amar Avino. So this is interesting. Divrei Omer, nedarim unedavos in kravim v'yomtiv. So it's according to the opinion who says that you cannot offer up nedarim and nedavos on yomtiv. Lotema midaoraisa lotem. Singmar says the Divrei Omer nedarim unedavos in kravim yomtiv. So it's according to the opinion who says that we do not offer up nedarim and nedavos on yomtiv, which means the only thing that's doch yomtiv, Rabbi says, is what? Obligatory offerings. Obligatory offerings. We do not offer up optional offerings, which are nedarim and nedavos, vow offerings, gift offerings. We don't offer that up on Yom Tov. Lo teima midaraisa michsichazu, v'rabanan hu digazru, shelo yasha. So the interesting thing is, how do you understand that halacha, that you can't offer up nedarim and nedavos on Yom Tov? So Bosai, you could say on one hand, that midaraisa, it's mutter to offer up nedarim and nedavos on Yom Tov. Chazal, the rabbi, stepped in and they said you can't. Why would they say you can't? Shelo yasha, because they both say they don't want people delaying the offering of their karbanos until Yom Tov. You know, they both say you can think about it like this: if I'm just a regular guy, so I can say to myself, look, I have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash anyway 3 times a year, so I'm not going to start making additional trips for my nedarim and nedavos. Instead, what will I do? I'll just offer everything when I go on the regalim. Chazal did not want you doing that. If you look at Rashi Shema Yasha, Karbanos Kol Hashana Sheyehei Nodev and Odev V'lo Yakrivim Ad HaRegel V'nim Tzah Mechavin U'mamtin Melacha Adam Oed V'ot Shema Yavar Ba'at Acher. So also you could say maybe Midoraisa really can offer up Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov. The rabbi stepped in and they said, we don't want you doing this. Why? Because you're going to end up delaying it unnecessarily. And I will say that's two problems. Number one, you end up doing extra stuff on Yom Tov, which we don't like. And furthermore, on a real halachic level, you can end up being in violation of Baal Tach. Because also, when you make a neder and a dava, Rabbi say, how long do you have to bring it? I'm making a dava. You have 3 regalim. So we're concerned that halacha lemaisa, you may come to delay. So the Gemara says, no. Don't say that. Lo teima midoraisa mechsechazu. Rabbi said, the opinion who says that you cannot bring nedarim and nedavos, he holds, why? Because midaraisa, you're not allowed to bring them on Yom Tov. Why? How do we know that? Dehashte alechem dechova sayomu, veleka lameimar shema yasha, vekatoni eina doche loas ha-shabbos ulasantur. Rabbi said, how do you know this? Because Rabbi said, the rai is shte alechem. What did the Mishnah say? Everyone agreed. That's what Rabbi say. You cannot bake the shtei halechem on Yom Tov. Why can you not bake the shtei halechem on Yom Tov? Rabbi say, why not? Why not? Because the truth is, you could do it before Yom Tiv with the same exact results. So you see from here that anything which can be done before Yom Tiv, ultimately, again, is not Docha Yom Tiv. Therefore, I will say, the opinion who holds that you can't go ahead and offer up Beit Tishtei Alechem on Yom Tiv will also hold that what? That you could not offer up Nidarim and Nidavas on Yom Tiv. Why? Because Nidarais Rabosait will be Aser. Not just simply Midrabanan. Nidarais will be Aser since what? Since it has the ability to be offered up prior to Yom Tiv with the same qualitative results. Good. Rabosait, Mazel Tov. Hadrin Alach, Shtei Alechem. Rabosait, you have to understand, what Hakara Satov we have to have to the Lublina Rav, who went ahead and came up with Daf Yomi. I was saying, because I'm not going to take a show of hands as to how many of us would have learned Perek Shtei HaLechem in Meseches Menachos if it was not part of a Daf Yomi cycle. I was saying, absolutely amazing. You just saw Perek in Shas that without the intervention of the Lublina Rav, the Pashtos, most of us, and I include myself in that, would have never, ever learned, and how much you would have lost out on. We would have lost out on how terrible the Babylonians are, right? We would have lost out, right? Ultimately, again, the halachos of Yom Tov, the halachos of Lechem upon him. Thank you, Lublina Rav. Hadron Alach Shtei Alechem. Good. About say new parrot. Hamenachos vanesachim. Was another interesting. These are all incredible gemaras. Hamenachos vanesachim shenitmu. So, listen to this. What happens if your mincha or your nesach became nesachim, became tameh? So what's the name again? Menachos are your flower offerings. Nesachim ultimately again are the libational offerings that became tameh. So we'll say if they became tameh, ach lo kitshubakli. So let's listen to this case. If they become tameh, they became tameh ultimately again. But until when? Before they became kadosh and ekli sharis. So what's the halacha? Yesh lam pigyon. So we'll say if they became tameh before they were put into ekli sharis, no problem. What can you do? You redeem it. The Rebbe said, now what does it mean to redeem it? So again, essentially what you do is you redeem its value. In other words, we'll say, you go ahead and you redeem it by giving that same amount, you transfer its sanctity onto money, using that money to go ahead and purchase what? New mincha or new nesach. And what do you do with the old mincha, the tameh one? It becomes chulin. It becomes chulin. Ultimately, again, therefore, it could be used for whatever you want. Mishi kachubuk, however, I will say, once the nesach, or once the mincha, becomes kadosh and eklishares, then what? Ein lan pidyon. I will say, once the item becomes kadosh and eklishares, then it cannot be redeemed, even if it becomes tameh. Ha'ofos va'itzim va'lavona, uklisharish initmu. I will say, so if bird offerings, or wood, or lavona, or eklisharis, I will say, once they became tameh, ein lan pidyon. I will say, they had no redemption. Because ultimately, you know, we'll say the concept of pidyon was only said by an animal. We'll see, but it's not just by an animal. What it means is only by the actual offering itself. So only by the actual carbon is there a concept of pidyon. Ofos, we'll discuss why there's no pidyon. Eitzim and lavona, which are more carbonic support items, ultimately, again, the klisharis cannot become redeemed once they have become tameh. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Ma'afilu hein ta'orin niftin. So Shmuel says, the truth is, Shmuel comes along and says, if you have an item which has not yet become sanctified in the klisharis, so for example, you have a mincha, or you have nisachim, which have not yet been put in the klisharis, Bosei, you could redeem it. Why? Why? Because essentially, before it's been put into a klisharis, even if it's been designated, it doesn't have kedusha. Now, we'll say what we will see is it does have some level of kedusha. It has what's called kedushas domin. Kedushas domin means monetary sanctity. Well, that's great. If something has monetary sanctity, then what, Rabbi Osai? It could be redeemed. It could be redeemed as well. So, Rabbi Osai, so all Shmuel's coming along and just saying, even though the Mishnah said, if these items become tameh, as long as they have not yet been put in a klisharis, they can be redeemed. Shmuel's just coming along and saying, by the way, even if they're not tameh, as long as they have not been put, as long as a sacrificial item or a consecrated item has not yet been put in a klisharis, it only has financial sanctity. If it only has financial sanctity, then halacha lemaisa, it can be redeemed. My taimo, what's the reason for this? Kamadulokachi bikli kedushas damim ninhu. Because Rabbah says, as long as the item has not been yet put in a kli, it only has financial sanctity. Ukedushas damim niftu. Rabbah says, any item that only has financial sanctity can be redeemed. Ay v'ha nitmu tnan. So Rabbah says, but why does the Mishnah then say nitmu? I'll tell you why. Who, so we'll say, the Mishnah makes it sound like it's only if the Menachos or the Nesachim became Tameh. So as long as they were not yet put in a Kli Sharis, you can redeem it. So what does Shmuel do with this? To which the Gemara says, no. Who adin da'af agav lo nitmu? The truth is, the halacha of the Mishnah, both say that something that has financial sanctity could be redeemed if it was not yet put in a Kli Sharis, applies even if it's not Tameh. The Aidi dikaboy misnesefa. The reason is because since the end of the Mishnah needs to talk about the case that what? That if it was put into a kli, it no longer has the ability to be redeemed. And Rabbi say the novelty at the bottom, at the end of the Mishnah Zatot Rabbi say, once an item has been placed into a kli sharis, right, it becomes sanctified. And even if it subsequently becomes Tameh, you still cannot redeem it. Therefore, again, Tani Nami Reisha Chenitmu. Therefore, I must say, ultimately, again, the Reisha also deals with the same case of Nitmu, just to make it symmetrical. But I must say, therefore, the Mishnah says, if it became Tameh, before it was put into a Kli Sharis, it could also be redeemed to match symmetrically the second part of the Mishnah, which says, once it was put into a Kli Sharis, then I must say, what? Even if it became Tamei, it cannot become redeemed. But Eina Chinam Yishmuel's statement, Rabbo say, that Alocha L'maisa, if an item, Menachos Nesachim, have not yet been put in a Kli Sharis, whether they're Tameiim or Tahorim, Rabbo say, Alocha L'maisa, what? They can be redeemed. Why? Because before a sacrificial item is put into a Kli Sharis, Rabbo say, what does it have? It has Kiddushas Damim. When you have Kiddushas Damim, financial sanctity, that Kiddusha could be redeemed, could be transferred onto money, and the money could be used to purchase something else, and the original item ultimately becomes Chulin. All right, then we'll stop over here for today. Shkoyach.